Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
American Horror Story.
So I guess I'm assuming we're recording right now.
We are recording.
Later than we should have been.
Later than we should have been.
I believe it was, I'll be home at 10 and everything will be set up for us to walk in and record.
Well, you know what? Life happens.
Life happens. And here we are.
And here we are.
Welcome.
Welcome. Oh my God. Michael, I know you watched American Horror Story on Wednesday.
I did.
And it was the premiere and it was everything. And you know what? This episode is going to air a little after the premiere.
Oh, yeah. So hopefully you've watched, you've seen the premiere.
Hopefully you've watched it because we're about spoilers, to spoil all this the spoilers, premiere.
All of it.
All of them. Because you know what? That premiere was amazing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I do think there were some things that could have been a little cleaner.
Oh, sure.
And I was, a little...
Let's start with things we liked.
Right. Things we liked. I mean, it's incredibly dark. I
so
feel like
dark.
The humor is in, like, they're just bringing the humor to balance out everything else that's going on because of its, dark nature of it being the apocalypse.
Oh my God. Well, what I think they do really well is that, like, campy humor from Coven. And mm-hmm. I liked seeing that back. And I like that works. Mm-hmm. And I think it is actually, works so well against, a really dark, background undercurrent thing happening.
Right,
I think that's when it works the best.
Yes, I think so, too.
I loved Leslie Grossman.
Yes.
I was just so here for her.
Yep. I do have to say, from an artistic perspective, I really enjoyed... I'm going to backtrack that. I enjoyed the opening. I always looked towards that opening. I did think it was a little weird. They threw in, because I thought they did a lot of good things. They looked like they pulled, a lot of, etching plate imagery from, Dante's Inferno was a lot of their inspiration.
Yes.
But then they threw in this, one random scene from the Coven opening, which I thought was strange.
They had a couple of references
really
to the Coven opening.
Kind of misplaced.
But they also had some of the Murder House opening in it, too.
Did they? I must have missed that.
They did. There were references to both.
Okay. Yeah. I just felt kind of lazy for them to completely reuse the opening stuff.
Oh,
from
interesting.
Those. I feel like it...
I thought it was just
Easter
egg nod.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Just like the song at the end of the episode.
Oh my God, that song at the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. That is... Here's the thing. I love the show so much. I have watched it every single season.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do something like that, that to me, that tells me we're making this season for our super fans.
Right, right, right.
Those of you who know we used that song
in episode
1 and 13 of Murder House.
Right, right, right.
We'll hear it and go, oh, I know what that is a reference to.
Oh, yeah.
And there are also, many sort of nods to other seasons. The fact that, they're all sitting in that room and they're only hearing the same song play over and over again is a total nod to Asylum.
Yes.
And then, she says that the outpost used to be, a school for special boys. Which is interesting. So I think that could be, Warlock-ish.
Right, exactly.
Kind of.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm curious
Subterranean
about
Warlock-y.
The Warlocks and their world.
Exactly.
There's another reference. Hold on.
Well, I feel like any of the zombie mutants could be like a nod to Freak Show.
Yes, totally. Right. There was a cult reference, something about like, it was when Sarah Paulson refers to the Greys as worker bees.
Mm.
I thought that was a nice sort of like, they didn't have to say worker bees. They could have said anything else, but I thought it was
worker ants.
Of, did they say worker ants?
Mm-hmm, I think so. Which was like a strange, it felt clumsy. I wanted it to be worker bees.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We have to talk about how fierce Sarah Paulson was mm-hmm. in this episode
mm-hmm.
because giving me all of the life, giving me all of the everything, that character, it's like, well, that's the gay Halloween costume for, you know,
for
the panel has voted right. and everybody will be Venable this Halloween.
Right, right, right.
Get out your Venable
Although I do
wigs.
Feel like she got her ass handed to her at the end of the season or at the end of the episode, I should say.
By Hottie Michael Langdon.
I guess so. He had like blonde, like flowy hair is kind of
he
strange.
Has Vivian's hair.
I know he does, but
I loved that he had Vivian's hair, and I feel like he has like Tate's face, Tate's body. I don't know.
We don't know yet.
I'm here for it. I'm here for Michael
right.
Langdon.
Right.
Yes, which I'm sure some people will go as for Halloween too.
Right. 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 But this isn't a podcast about American Horror Story.
No. No. No.
This is a podcast about the national parks.
I'm looking for adventure, wanna follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks. National Parks, at the National Parks, follow you, I'll follow you there.
Welcome to Gaze at the National Parks,
Episode 3.
Today, we are talking about Bryce Canyon.
That's correct.
Which is located in Utah.
It is located in Utah.
Who knew?
Utah. Who knew?
Absolutely where it is at.
Mm-hmm.
Utah is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen in the world.
It's incredible.
You know what I was thinking about, Mike, was when we hike and go to all these national parks, there are always national forests all around all of the different national parks. And I believe that it was on this trip that I was curious about. I think I turned to you and I was like, what makes something a national forest and what makes something a national park?
Yeah, I think we did a little bit of research when we had Wi-Fi because it was a little spotty on our way out.
I mean, Utah is vast and there's not much Wi-Fi or cell signal in many
right.
parts of
and
Utah.
And by Wi-Fi, I meant cell signal or
yeah,
data.
Whatever yeah.
that magic is that it makes our phones work.
Why we don't have it all the time, I
right.
don't understand. Why
yeah.
we can't generate it
right.
from our
right.
own devices, I'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
But that was when I started researching it. So I wanted to share with our listeners what exactly makes something and what constitutes a national park.
Okay.
So
yeah, let's go over that.
Okay.
Because I forgot.
So a national park... it has to be a natural feature in the United States, and it can start out by like being a state park that then transitions into a national park. It could also be deemed a national monument, but it has to be based on these old rules back when they were establishing them. They had to have some kind of natural beauty.
Mm-hmm.
They had to contain some kind of vast ecosystem. they had to have some sort of resource, specific resource that was unique to them.
Okay.
They also had to have a natural barrier around them, and it also had to be something that people could visit.
Okay.
Those were sort of like the five things criteria you had to check off the list in order
so
to become a national park.
So many national parks have a national forest that surrounds them or is, you know, so very close to them.
Because it's the natural barrier to keep them protected.
Gotcha.
The other thing that's different about a national park and national forest, if something is deemed a national park, that means like it is, it's basically like frozen in time and space. Like we're not going to come down and cut any trees down in anything here.
Which is exactly why you can't take anything from the location.
You have to keep everything inside of that park. Like, you know, like remember, like they searched cars when we were leaving the petrified forest because they were like, you were not leaving here with any petrified wood.
Exactly.
But a national forest is a forest used to actually cultivate wood for an area. So you grow wood and you chop down the trees, you turn it into lumber and you grow more trees in that area.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a natural resource for that surrounding community.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Cool.
Tell us a little bit about Bryce Canyon.
Well, even though it's called Bryce Canyon, it's actually not a canyon. It's considered to be an amphitheater.
For all of my performances.
For all of your performances. So I thought that that was really interesting. So it's a natural rock formation amphitheater, which is what they really do consider it, even though it does have the title of canyon. I'm sure that Bryce Canyon sounds a lot better than Bryce Natural Rock Amphitheater National Park. It's a little bit of a mouthful there.
For those of us who have theater degrees, we would absolutely go to Bryce Amphitheater.
Right. And they would come for everybody else. So it was actually made a national park in 1928. I think it was formed as a national monument in 1923, and then 5 years later, it became that national park that we have today. One of the biggest features of the park, you know, of the splendor of it, are something called hoodoos, which are these rock formations, which are basically a really good example of erosion. Like Bryce Canyon is a really fascinating look at what wind, water, has done to natural rock over time, especially winds, because the hoodoos are so high, you know, typically. Yeah.
And they look like it's like a totem kind of.
Right. Or like almost like a sand drip castle.
Almost like a sand drip castle. Yeah. Or like just piles of rocks that have like eroded together.
Right.
And sometimes they're connected at the top. And when they are connected, they're called windows.
Right.
Because you can see through
them. Yes. And the Native Americans in the area believe that the hoodoos were actually called legend people, so that they were actually people that were turned into these rock formations. So that's part of their mythology there.
Oh, I've got to read some of those stories. Oh, I love that.
So that's really interesting. Also, Bryce Canyon is one of the best places in the United States to see stars.
Because you said something about it was
the darkest. I think it's the darkest place inside the contiguous United States. It's one of those darkest places. So that's something, unfortunately, we're not able to take part in. But that is something that if you do go, you definitely should take part in because it's supposed to be spectacular. You're able to see the Milky Way and more stars than you'd see, you know, anywhere that's somewhere that's a non-remote part of the United States.
And with that, let's dive into our adventure to Bryce Canyon.
Sounds good to me. So we had spent 2 days in Zion before we decided to make our move to Bryce. And
you knew about Bryce. I did not know anything about Bryce. I had actually been to Zion one other time in my life.
Right.
But I did not know that that was where I
was. That you were in Zion.
Because I was much younger. And
right.
I was like, oh, this beautiful place.
Right. Well, I have my cousin and her husband are like big hikers, national park enthusiasts. So I had a little bit of back info from them about Bryce.
So they told you about Bryce?
A little bit, yeah.
Literally no one has ever mentioned it. I did not know it was a place.
I feel like, I mean, Utah, who knew? It's so beautiful.
Absolutely.
But I feel like Zion probably, even despite the fact that Bryce is incredible, I feel like Zion kind of gets the spotlight, unfortunately. Like, yes. Zion and Arches, I feel like, are
the
main attractions
in Utah.
So.
And we went to both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're on the covers of most of the things.
And I feel like, as far as accessibility goes, too, you know, Zion is so close to Nevada.
They all say Nevada.
Nevada.
I did say Nevada Falls last episode.
That's all right. So it's so close to that state that I just said. And
yes.
And then Arches is so close to Colorado. I feel like, you know, it's a...
And Bryce is right there.
And Bryce is right there. But I'm just saying, as far as like crossing state boundaries,
yeah,
I think
those
might get a little bit more play because they're so close to a state border or something like that.
Yeah. I remember after we had... Well, I mean, we packed up like... So
I think we packed
early.
Up the night before, mostly.
We packed up
we
the
showered,
night before.
We packed up the night before.
And then we got on the road at, I think we were on the road at 5.
Wow, it might have been earlier.
4. Because
we watched the sun come up.
Bryce, like, ridiculously early. We were there, like, at the open.
Right.
We were there
The park is open 24 hours.
Yeah,
but,
I guess so. But when... staff arrived was when we were getting
that's
there.
True that's right. Sometimes you'll drive into a park and
no one's there, even though
you have your park pass, no one's there.
That's right.
So you're able to just drive in, and we experienced that a few times in our travels.
Yeah. So we set out in the car and it's still dark
and it was cold. I mean,
I do remember that it was cold,
but I feel like it didn't get so cold right away, because when we were staying in Zion, we actually didn't stay in Zion proper. We were about a half hour outside in Utah.
Wait, what was it called?
It was called Hurricane.
Hurricane Utah.
Yeah, Hurricane.
I'm sorry. I know that place has never seen a hurricane.
Yeah, that's an interesting name for a place in Utah.
I'm pretty sure, if I'm remembering correctly, that we did definitely stop at McDonald's on that drive Bryce.
We were, I think that was a, I need to use the bathroom really bad. This might be my only opportunity during the day to do so, if you're catching my drift, wink, wink.
Uh-huh.
So now is the time to unleash whatever fury you need to.
Exactly.
The morning fury. But we were like pretty, I feel like we were pretty close, because really, honestly, if you remember, we drove for... After leaving Hurricane, we drove for a really long time.
It was a really long time.
Quiet, sleepy, tiny, like...
Yes.
You know, one-horse towns, if we were going to use that.
And the views on that drive were things I had never seen before in my life.
I just feel it was so vast.
It was so vast. The landscape was so sweeping.
Right.
It was so beautiful. I mean, it was... And to get it with the sunrise was... such a gift.
Right.
Because, I mean, I'm actually getting tears in my eyes thinking about just how beautiful, like,
incredible.
Those things we saw just driving from one park to another. And these are just, you know, their main highways in Utah.
Right.
I mean, and there were times where, you know, it was very steep going up and very steep going down.
It was. Where it was like,
it was,
climb car, climb.
It was just spectacular. I mean, breathtaking every turn.
Right.
Check out some of our photos on Instagram and you'll see like what we're talking about.
And I feel like it was probably about a 2-hour ride outside from Hurricane to Bryce. I want to say it was something around that.
It was about 2 hours.
About 2 hours without looking at the maps right now.
We spent a lot of that time, I think, in that particular drive, listening to Chicago the Musical.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all that jazz.
All that jazz.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My sister and I had an act that couldn't flop.
My sister and I were headed straight for the top.
Right. So
Cicero.
Yeah. That whole, I mean, I could recite that whole album. Mm-hmm. So we are making our way through this glorious sweeping landscapes of mesas and mountains and valleys and fields and rocks and also tiny little towns.
Tiny little towns.
So small. I mean, it was like you looked, like you blinked and you were through them.
Right.
There were, I remember one tiny town had really small homes and they were really tight and they were compact and it was like they were all in this one area and then like across the street was a grocery store and there was a gas station.
Right.
And there was a bus stop and that was it.
Yeah. It was incredible to see just from living in such a densely populated area in the Northeast to then see how spread out everything is. It's wild to see it. And I mean, that's not the first time on the trip that we were noticing that. I mean, we really got to see that when we even, I think, dipped into Arizona towards the end of our trip that time. We really did, I feel like, see a lot of just desolate and very wide open sort of.
Well, the landscape of Arizona and the landscape of Utah are very different.
Right.
But I had never experienced that just as a person, that kind of drive. And that was really special. And so we get our McDonald's and we head back into the car. And what I remember then is like Google Maps saying like, oh, you're 18 minutes away, but it was like nothing was around us. And it was like if you needed to turn around to go back to somewhere, like, I mean, it was like literally 30 miles until like the next intersection.
Right. Well, remember too, we did go through the national forest. I can't remember the name of that national forest, but we did pass through a national forest before getting to Bryce.
That's true.
So we did hit that. And I think that's how we knew we were pretty close. And I think if I remember correct too, there were a few towns that we had gone through that had more of like a, this is a main street. And like,
yeah, there were a there couple is of those.
Like a little bit more of a population here.
I mean, it
like,
really
there
did
was a
feel
little
like
bit more life.
The old West.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It felt like these once were those buildings and now they've been renovated.
By the time we got to the ranger station at the gate, like you said, I think people were just coming onto their shift at those stations. And here's another thing to keep in mind. It was cold. I mean,
it was very, very cold that day.
We did prep, I think, for it. We kind of really looked into the weather because we were pretty layered. And we talked about previous podcasts about layering and regretting it. And this was not one of those days.
I had not prepared for that when we were like packing the car. And it was like, it is freezing.
Right.
And then like bundled up like before I got in.
Right. And I think the thing to remember is that Bryce is like 7,000 feet above sea level.
Oh,
like we're on the Colorado Plateau. Like
totally.
It's like we passed a sign for 7,777 feet above sea level.
Did we? I don't remember that.
So, I mean, you're high up there. So obviously it's cold. I remember rolling down the window to talk to the ranger to be like, you know, can you just give us a brochure, because I don't even know, was there a station? Do we even, like, usually we'll look up a ranger station to like go to, like for Google
there
Maps
there
wasn't purposes.
A ranger station,
and I can't remember. And I think even if there was, we probably were there too early for them to be open. I feel
exactly.
So we got our info from the gate ranger. Yep. And then
who
we,
was super wonderful and super cool.
Right.
And then we drove in.
And I think with that, it's time to play a game.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
So we're going to play one of our favorite games called Pentagram.
And we kind of like tried to figure out how we could do this for a wider audience, because when we hiked, we played Pentagram based off of friends that we both collectively knew.
The way that the game works is you think about what five objects would you put inside of a pentagram to summon someone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just want to say this for my mother, who might be listening. Pentagrams were originally used in Christian
is this a disclaimer?
Religions. Right, exactly. They have been adopted by many, many other religions.
Right.
No, just because someone plays
worship.
Pentagram right. does not mean that you are worshiping anything except right. You're just playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay, so who should we pentagram today?
I think we should pentagram for Britney Spears.
See, I was thinking that we should pentagram for Amy Adams. I mean, I do have a secret wish that she will come on this podcast one
right,
day.
Right, right, right. Because this is our name drop every episode kind of thing.
I'm like, I really do think we could find a way
right.
to mention Amy Adams
I'm sure.
in every single episode right. of this podcast. I'm going to take it as a personal, like, challenge.
Your manifesto?
My manifesto. Uh-huh. To make it. But let's play with Britney Spears.
Okay. So five things to summon Britney.
Five things to summon Britney Spears.
I think, was it an anaconda?
No, it wasn't an anaconda.
No,
it was just a
it
snake.
Wasn't an
it was just a green
it was,
snake.
No, it was yellow
a
and
python?
White. It was a yellow and white python, maybe.
Oh, okay,
an
great.
Anaconda.
An anaconda is bigger than either of us put together.
Right,
I
and could like
you.
Eat a horse or a cow.
Exactly, like
right.
a car.
Right.
No.
Right.
Anaconda. No, Anaconda is a film starring Jennifer Lopez.
Right, and Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
And Ice-T.
Prior to them doing The Wedding Planner. I don't remember.
Oh, no, it wasn't Matthew McConaughey. It was Owen Wilson. That's
oh,
who it was.
Why are you confusing them?
I don't know.
Because they're both blonde dudes.
Right.
Okay.
So
you
snake.
Would put the snake.
Right.
I'm going to put in... her perfume. So Britney Spears first endorsed an Elizabeth Arden perfume called Curious.
Mm.
And then she came out with her own perfume a year
Bi-curious?
Later called Fantasy.
Oh.
Yes, by Curious.
Okay.
Okay, great. So I would put a bottle of Fantasy in the pentagram. What about
sweet,
you?
Sweet Fantasy. I think I have a few things uh-huh. that I'm like, I mean, I could throw them both out. They could both go in there.
Let's
I feel like that umbrella. That
I was
she,
thinking the umbrella.
Okay, the umbrella.
So the umbrella
the breakdown, the 2007
the breakdown
umbrella. And I also think that we should probably put in her matching jean outfit that she wore with Justin Timberlake.
Oh my God. Absolutely, yes. Okay, right. So we have the all denim gown.
Right.
Yes. Okay, great.
And
that's
probably a copy
there.
Of Crossroads.
I'm
sure
I
there's more
want,
iconic
I
things.
Want something that... I think we need something like more iconic, like beginning starter Britney. Like, I think we
like
need...
Like her Hit Me Baby One More Time outfit instead
like,
of the
I
denim?
Just, no. I
oh.
think the denim.
Okay.
The denim, definitely. But I want... like she, like maybe the plaid skirt mm-hmm. from the video. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if we brought that, then. Mm-hmm.
So those are our five?
I guess so. But we have nothing about Britney now.
I think she'll come to us.
She'll join right. us. I think we fully summoned mm-hmm. her.
Hail Spears.
Okay, so we pull into Bryce Canyon National mm-hmm. Park, which to me, at the beginning of this, I felt like it looked, I mean, there wasn't anything really spectacular about this entrance.
No.
It was just a very
It was
simple,
woody,
it was
actually.
Very it filled was... with woods. And there was a sign that it was like, this is an attraction, but like that sign in the middle of nothing was like, oh, I guess this is it. And it just was very deserted.
Right. I mean, we were one of the first few people there, I would say, like as
we
far
were.
As parking goes. Like, I mean, remember coming back at the ends and how full parking
it was
really
full.
And yeah.
But pulling in, there were, I think our ranger friend told us like, oh yeah, you can park by the cabins or you can park by the general store. There's a this, there's the mm-hmm. that. And so we ended up finding, like we drove through and we saw that there was like a Bryce Lodge.
Right.
Which I was like, I'm sure that's pretty expensive to stay mm-hmm. in. But then there were other cabins about. And then we parked near the general store mm-hmm. because there were parking spots there.
Abundant parking spots.
Many.
Because we were early.
But we
early
didn't go in the general store.
It wasn't open at that point.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, but I feel like there were bathrooms and showers there. And I
yes.
feel like we used the restroom, I'm pretty sure. And then we kind of geared up at the car.
And then, yep. We
and
got
again,
ready.
We, I mean, mm. after being in Zion, it was pretty wild to just, I think, not see anything
yeah.
that looked
Zion
remarkable.
Zion is remarkable, like from the town before you walk,
right.
before you but like get into the Zion National Park. Like Zion is just breathtaking
it's
all around.
It's well curated, I feel
and
like.
And there
in
are
the way
always
that
people around. Zion
right.
was always busy. And so this was like no one
right.
is here, deserted area.
Right.
So we get our bags on
and
our
this
bags.
Was our first, I mean, this was our first parks trip together. In
this
general.
Was our first park trip.
So I think it was a little wild.
We did this
to,
in 2017.
Right. I think it was a little wild to see Zion be so bustling and then for this to be like
so
crickets.
Deserted. Total
right.
crickets. So we put on our bags and then we make our way. We follow
up
the signs.
Up a trail.
It was
basically.
Up a trail and like we had to go through some woods and.
But it wasn't dense. You could see
no,
sky.
You could see sky.
So you're basically on an uphill at this point.
And we did not really, I didn't really understand like where we were as far as like, are we coming in at canyon level? Are we coming
right.
in at valley level? Like where are we? What is happening?
Right.
And then we walk up to, or like we get finally to the edge of these trees. And it was like, kapow.
Yeah.
There
Talk
is
about
Bryce
a view.
Canyon. And oh my God.
Right.
That was such a surprise.
I think also, you know, despite the cold weather, I think the surprise also was how much snow there was for me.
There was so much snow.
There was, I mean, and we ended up hiking through some of it eventually
we
too.
Did.
But I just feel like that added another layer because really, It's really vast to look out into this canyon and to see it.
It was one of the most, like, I remember walking up and, like, seeing it and not expecting anything like this at all.
Right.
In any kind of
no,
way.
No, not at all.
And having no frame of reference for it and then getting what this beautiful thing is.
Right.
Was another, I mean, I'll get emotional right now talking about it. Yeah, I just immediately was like, picture, picture. I took a picture of everything.
And I found all the dead trees I could
you
to
did,
take photos of the canyon
you
through.
Because love taking photos
love
of dead,
dead
trees.
I just love dead trees.
You just love them.
I
love dead trees.
I love dead trees.
So we were thinking about like, okay, well, like, where are we going to like, what kind of hikes are we going to do today right. here at Bryce? So we decided to walk around, like, walk the perimeter around on the rim for a little bit.
Right, which isn't, like, it's basically between two points, Sunrise Point and Sunset Point.
Are and we you're came kind in of like, at Sunset Point.
I think so.
I think we did.
I think so. And then walked over to Sunrise Point. And basically, there's two trailheads down into the canyon from those points. So it's either the Queen's Garden Trail mm-hmm. or the Navajo Trail.
Yeah.
So we basically walked to our furthest point. And at that point, I think it was Sunrise Point.
Yeah.
There's almost like a little, if I remember correctly, like a chain link kind of fence. And there's like a little bit more of a step off. It's not like a glass platform, but it's a platform to overlook the canyon, right?
Right.
So you could kind of go out onto that. And I think...
And we did. And we spent
some time there.
And what was fascinating to me is that there were so many hoodoos,
mm-hmm.
especially right where we were.
Right.
And like the snow was like covering some of it and whatnot. But like just walking about 15 feet, you get a totally different view
right.
than you did 15 feet ago.
Yeah.
It's like now it's something, now it looks totally different. Right. Now you have to get right. all the more photos again.
Right.
Like there were, I think in my photo albums on my phone, like Bryce has the most photos because it was, I just had to capture everything from every angle.
And it was so wild. And at this point too, you know, we're not the only people there anymore. It's very clear that there are some people that have just, that were there before us that had parked in a different location because there were a bunch of people on the canyon rim with us at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, there were, I mean, there were families
yeah.
and they had their dogs
right.
and there were the kids and it was lovely. And clearly like this is what people were doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I think I was like, I absolutely am down on the rim.
Right.
And I want to like go inside here.
Yeah.
And
again, it's not that vast, that space there. So it really didn't warrant a ton of time. You know, I think we were very quickly like fulfilled with what we were able to see. So at that point, we kind of like did a little bit of planning, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. Because we got out the map. And mm-hmm. because, okay, if I remember right, like Bryce is like, all of the hikes are inside of this canyon, I say with quotation fingers.
Rock amphitheater.
Even though it's a rock amphitheater.
Right.
And you can sort of design your own adventure.
Yeah. I mean, not as much as like when we were in
Acadia
recently. But
I mean, Acadia is sort of like the mastermind behind design your own adventure.
Right, right, right.
But there were about five or six different trails like inside of Bryce, including like just the tiny little ones that had names.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just figure out like which, and a lot of them intersected. So you could figure out like which way you wanted to go
right.
and which direction.
And sometimes you were on like horse trails too. That was the other thing.
There were
like,
horse roads
you
there.
Could like, and I think we did for a little while have to jump on or accidentally jumped on a horse road because it was parallel to a trail and we were
right
just following what we thought was right.
So what was the plan that we made in that moment?
So I think we knew that we had the whole day and we really wanted to try to utilize it to the best of our ability.
Right.
So I think we really tried to plan for a full day, knowing kind of what we had done in Zion the last 2 days and feeling like confident and also comfortable with that amount of hiking.
Yeah.
So what we decided to do was to head down into the Navajo Trail and then I think to get on the Peekaboo Trail to Bryce Point.
Yeah.
Hike up that, come back down, and then come back up the Queen's Garden so that we could kind of
right.
see really a vast majority of everything.
And that would be about 17 miles worth
right.
of hiking.
Yeah. I think when we came back, that's what we ended up with.
And so that was when we decided to like head on in and like start that 17 mile adventure. Mm-hmm. And with that, let's take another break.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
It's time for Drag Queen Corner.
I actually like that name. That's good. Drag Queen Corner.
I do too.
I feel like Mr. Rogers would pop out and talk to us about Drag Queen Corner.
Absolutely.
Right.
He would. I totally. I feel like Drag Queen Corner is like I've seen those videos online of like drag queens reading to kids in libraries. Which I'm here for anyone who will read to any children in libraries. Absolutely. Or anywhere.
Right.
Just read to them. But I do sort of see like Drag Queen Corner being like the corner of the library where everything just has slightly more sequins than everything else.
Covered in glitter.
Covered. So I think I know which queen we're going to talk about
today.
Oh,
I see. This is why I didn't need to look at the list.
That's ahead. That's right. I think we're going to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Miss Sandy Aria.
You know what? I knew you were going to say
you
that.
I knew I was going to. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my
Sandy
God.
Area.
Sandy Area. I can't. Mm-hmm. It's so good. And I thought it was appropriate because we were talking about Bryce Canyon.
Right.
Because a lot of it was very sandy.
Yeah.
As well as being like foresty and snow covered and.
Yeah, it has it all.
Craggy.
Right.
It has it all. Okay. So who is this queen, Miss Sandy Area?
Sandy Area. I feel like Sandy Area is, you know, a 40-year-old middle-aged but still rocking a tight body, raven-haired. No, I'm sorry, not raven-haired. What would we call someone with red hair? What's another adjective that we could, like flame-haired?
Flaming locks.
Flaming locks, but like kind of like a darker auburn flame. Like kind of like a sexy librarian vibe going on.
Oh, interesting.
I'm feeling this from Sandy Area. And I feel like she is like a Lara Croft librarian sort of hybrid.
Interesting.
That is very beach oriented.
Interesting.
Lots of thoughts came from me.
Oh, just, that
like,
was
right.
That was
off the
lot.
Cuff.
That was like library, but also Lara Croft, but also beach. I'm going to try and take this and synthesize and make
sense. Okay, please do.
So I think like the Lara Croft fierceness I'm totally here for, and the sort of like inspiration in the wardrobe. The librarian thing I think comes from the fact that she is a smart gal. And I think that she probably like themes her bathroom like a beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perhaps she's a geologist. I feel like
that's
her.
Sandy,
you know,
Area is a geologist.
That's her background.
And what song does she lip sync to?
Oh, God. I feel the earth move.
Absolutely.
I'm just feeling Sandy Area. Like,
oh, she's so good.
I'm feeling all of Sandy Area.
You know what's happening? I'm sitting here looking at my. He's slowly like growing
Sandy
auburn
Area.
Hair and becoming Sandy Area.
Right.
You know what's funny is, like, as we keep saying Sandieria, I'm actually hearing it as one word.
Mm-hmm.
Like S-A-N-D-I-A-R-I-A. Sandieria.
Oh.
Like, see, her name is a single word.
But I and also it's think Sandieria. You can also play around with that because I think it could be Sandieria.
Oh, it like, could be Sandieria.
Sandieria, like, yeah. You know, solo.
Like a solo song. Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, so many I love options it. Here.
So many options. And she sings, and she lip syncs, I Feel the Earth Move Under mm-hmm. My Feet. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Right.
And I feel like she actually, like in that lip sync, probably has like, sound effects of like earthquakes and
I think
like,
so
and
like
volcanoes
squalls.
And right. squalls and like things like that like mm-hmm. she and like it's like playing with like video background of like mudslides
right
and like the, like she probably has like a tell them at the bar like tell them my name and you'll get like $3 off a mudslide.
Oh, okay. Is that so? That's her signature drink.
It's
too,
her
is
signature
mudslide.
Drink is a mudslide. Mm-hmm. There we go.
I love it. That's
ladies
great.
And gentlemen, it's Sandieria. So we walked down into the Navajo Trail,
mm-hmm.
and I just remember looking up, and it was like the combination of the blue sky,
mm-hmm.
it was so blue, next to the orange of the hoodoos. I probably took 17,000 photos,
right.
all of which you can see on Instagram.
Right.
And just, I mean, it was one of those places where I was like, you know what, today... I am a photographer. I just like, I'm a photographer.
Right.
I'm thinking about angles and right. I'm thinking about color mm-hmm. and I'm thinking about exposure.
Just living your best complementary color life.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, yes, I right. do know that orange and blue are complementary colors. You. Thank you.
Bookstore.
I took scenic painting class.
Right.
Right. So.
Thank you, Sari. But I've been sexually active
since I
was
25.
25.
25. Yes.
Right.
A reference to 30 Rock if you.
For those
who may not listen right. to, right. And if you don't watch 30 Rock, turn this off right now and go watch 30 Rock and then come back.
Right.
So it was just so, like epic, like every,
yeah.
like, and we were hiking down.
Right. And for a little bit, like you're on that path and it's, you're not... You're kind of in a little bit of a canyon, I feel like.
It feel like a canyon.
I don't know the best like geological term to describe it, but basically getting on that trail. A rock amphitheater. You're getting on that trail and you're pretty exposed to the sky. And then eventually you do kind of come into this like switchbacky sort of canyon.
Yeah, it was switchbacky and it was headed downward.
Mm-hmm.
And
the angle, I mean, there's the incredible thing is all of the trees that were in the canyon that were so incredibly tall that obviously were just reaching for the light. Like
reaching,
because
yes.
it was so shadowy in that canyon that, you know, I'm sure it only gets light for a very specific amount of time.
It only took about 15 minutes, if I remember right. It was like 15 to 20 minutes to like get to the intersection of all those trails, like right there.
It wasn't terribly long, but there were a lot of switchbacks and I think climbing up would have taken us
climbing
like a decent amount of time. Climbing up
those switchbacks would have taken a while, but we were
because
headed down.
We did have to do that, you know, eventually.
Oh, didn't
yeah.
we?
No, didn't we?
So we get down to like what is sort of like base level area. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like a tall canyon. It's not like the tallest of like, it's not like a ton of difference between like, at that point where we entered
right.
is what
Let's
I mean.
Be careful how we say that.
Like from the
rim.
The rim down to the bottom.
Use your words.
I will do my best. And so we're looking at the signs and I remember at that moment there was
little chipmunk.
There was a little chipmunk.
Right.
Like I decided to like nibble on something from my bag and there was a little chipmunk and I think I might have tossed him some granola or something like that.
I probably shouldn't have done, but
you know what? I was Snow White in that moment,
that chipmunk
feeding
is
the
dead
chipmunk.
Now.
The chipmunk is not dead because that was natural food. So
no, I'm just
don't,
saying.
Do
like,
not come for me,
I'm
bro.
Just
I did not kill any chipmunks.
I'm just saying the passage of time. You weren't responsible for his death.
Yeah,
but what's the lifespan of a chipmunk?
Definitely what you insinuated.
No.
I don't know what the lifespan of a chipmunk is. Well, maybe somebody can comment on this and let us know.
Thank you.
We decided we're going to do the Peekaboo Trail.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, I think I said out loud, I was like, oh, is it because it's named after Peekaboo Street, the Olympian? But I did not know why it was called the Peekaboo Trail until you were hiking on it. Then I figured out why it was called the Peekaboo Trail.
Because honestly, anytime you turned a corner, it was a different wild alien world.
Oh my God. I have always called Bryce Canyon an alien world.
Right.
And so we're walking on this Peekaboo Trail, and literally it's like you walk through a window of a hoodoo that just has a trail going through it, essentially is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it's like, what is this?
Right.
What is here? Like now this other spectacular view, and now there's this thing happening, and now there's so much to see. I mean, it was just, I got exhausted from taking so many photos.
Right.
And I do remember I did get to a point in the day because, I mean, obviously I wanted to capture as many photos as possible because it was so beautiful. But I did get to a point in the day where I finally was like, I'm putting my phone away.
Mm-hmm.
I know where I'm about to see other things that are beautiful, but I don't want to experience them through technology.
Right.
Like, I just want my body to see them and feel them and experience them. My body was so ready for Bryce Canyon.
I do have to say, for me, it really did feel almost like labyrinthine. Like, the whole... Especially that part, like, early on the Peekaboo Trail. Because eventually it did open up and it was, like, a little wider. I feel like we were in like more, there was more trees eventually. Like we came back into like almost like a forest within the canyon, like a small kind of narrow forest. But I feel like initially we were like turning weird corners, going through archways.
Oh, yeah.
Like I felt like I was in a video game.
I remember there were so many like just like tree randomly here in the middle of like all this rock.
I mean,
I took so many photos that would definitely be like early alternative rock cover art.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
grunge cover art.
Totally.
Or like Red Hot Chili Peppers cover art.
So many Red Hot Chili Pepper albums. Like so many of
them. But I think that also the incredible
thing
is like...
Which you can see on our Instagram.
Yeah, just keep plugging away, buddy.
Keep plugging away.
I think the other incredible thing for me is that, you know, the color really shifted a lot. So it was that really intense kind of like coppery orange color for a while. And then it became this like washed out sandy color eventually.
Yes.
And it almost felt really much more like the high desert that we were supposed to be in. Because the weird thing about the park is that it is so vegetated. Like there's so much green in that like canyon.
There is.
Sorry, rock amphitheater.
Rock amphitheater.
The
rock and roll amphitheater.
The rock and roll amphitheater. So that was like, that was pretty incredible for me to like kind of see that. And we really didn't, I feel like we didn't get a lot of snow initially. I feel like it wasn't until we were further along and further in that we started to see snow. Like I remember seeing one guy early on that was doing like he was looked like a professional photographer. He had like a pretty big camera.
I was pretending that I was him the whole time, just with my iPhone.
And like we talked to him for a little bit, but then
there was
really
no
not that many people
around.
Like on that trail. Like which was I feel like we really didn't see people until we got to start hiking up towards Bryce Point.
So we knew that we were headed toward Bryce Point and we knew that Bryce Point was fairly high up in the air. And Bryce Point is up at parking lot level.
Right.
But by the time you're
rim
level, but it's a much higher journey one has to go from down inside of Bryce Canyon up to Bryce Point.
As opposed to the journey that we took down from Sunrise Point.
So we had, after we had taken that journey, now a lot of what we had done, because Peekaboo Trail is considered strenuous.
Mm-hmm.
And we had done a lot of uphill and some switchbacky around things in Peekaboo Trail. And that had been like, all right, this is uphill. We're feeling this, but it's, I mean, comparatively to other things we've done, like it's honestly a walk in the park. But the at that day, I was like, this is still tiring.
Right.
And then we did pass. I remember there was this, it was a guy and a gal, and they were hiking together, and they were coming down, and we could not figure out what Bryce Point was. Mm-hmm. And we were looking around. We were like, which thing is Bryce Point? Like, we think it's that. And they were like, no, honey, it's that thing, that giant thing that looks like a tower right. up in the air. Mm. That's Bryce Point.
Because it does. That's where you're headed. It looks like a citadel. It's like incredibly large.
And I was like, oh my God, this is where we're going.
Right.
Well, dear Jesus, I better get ready. It's the end of our podcast. You know what that means? It's time for
Jeopardy.
Mike, hit us with your category.
Okay, this category is called Encapsulated Rim.
Great.
In this category, I will be giving you a clue, and you must tell me the word, which includes the word rim inside of it.
Oh,
hence the word encapsulated rim.
Well done.
So for our $100 question, when hiking up Yosemite Falls, one's face may contort into this expression, also a common name for a purple McDonald's monster.
What is grimace?
That's correct.
Awesome.
There you go. G-R-I-M-A-C-E. Mm-hmm. All right. And these are all, when I designed this category, I designed it for very hiking specific. So all the clues are hiking specific.
Great.
Don't take too long doing this at the edge of Bryce Canyon, a word that means to make minor adjustments to your hair and makeup, because once you are done hiking your 17 miles, you'll look road hard and put away wet.
I feel like you are directly calling me out on this, okay? Because the word is, what is primp?
That's correct.
Not that I primp all the time, but I do. I know my truth.
All right. Encapsulated rim for 300. When hiking along the path back from Angel's Landing, you may be waiting in these, another name for a pause, as foot traffic is one way and you wouldn't want to fall 1,000 feet to your death, would you?
Yeah, I don't know.
What is interim?
Interim?
Yeah, like a waiting period.
I see.
Mm.
Interesting. All right. I'll take it.
Okay.
400.
400.
As same category.
As a wanderer in the forest, carrying your pack and only the essentials, you may feel like one of these as you stroll through Kings Canyon on your holy path to the house group and the other sacred groves within.
Oh my goodness. I don't know.
America.
The what?
They started America.
Oh, a pilgrim?
There you go.
Oh, look at that. That was good. This is a good category.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and
great.
And our $500 question. If you are foolish enough to try to take the Bright Angel Path down to the floor of the Grand Canyon and back up in a single day, you may feel like the sky would fill with fire and this, basically a biblical shit show, as your body forsakes you.
Brimstone.
That is correct.
Awesome. That was a really good category.
Right.
Are you ready for my category?
I am ready for your category.
My category is called Branded by Bryce.
Oh.
In this category, Bryce Canyon has decided to brand itself mm-hmm. and make Bryce Enterprises, which everything in the place is now strictly Bryce.
Okay.
And so you're going to hear a commercial for Bryce for each one of the questions.
Okay.
And you have to fill in the thing.
Okay.
But note, it's Bryce specific.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So here we go. If you are hungry in Bryce Canyon, then stop by our famous Bryce Canyon Cafe and get yourself an order of this chicken poultry dish packed with protein only available in Bryce Canyon.
Chicken and Bryce?
What yes.
Chicken and Bryce?
You got it. Yes.
That's great. I love
right.
it.
Right. Okay.
Okay. I got you now.
Yeah. Right. Here we
all
go.
Right. It took me a minute.
Come to one of our many sweet treat stations to get yourself this dessert available only here in Bryce Canyon.
What is Bryce cream?
Yes, I'll take that. I actually wrote Bryce pudding or a Bryce crispy treat.
Oh, great.
But I will take a Bryce cream.
Okay.
Done. Look at that. Here we go. When you are done with your hiking for the day, head on over to the Bryce Canyon Bookshop, where you'll find the Vampires of Utah series by this horror romance mystery writer.
Who is Anne Bryce?
Yes. On your way back to the visitor center, stop by the offices of the CEO of Bryce Canyon Enterprises, who is known for her resemblance of this former Secretary of State.
Who is Condoleezza Bryce.
Yes. And finally, don't forget to turn on your radios to hear Bryce Canyon's in-house Irish singer-songwriter with hits like Oh, The Hill is Steep, and The Blower's Daughter Hikes Faster Than Me.
I don't know.
Who is Damien Bryce?
Oh, I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it.
There you
awesome.
Go.
That's very good. I love that. Well, wonderful. Well, thank you all for joining us for our third episode of
Gaze at the National Parks. And as a reminder, hike early.
And hike often.
And that adventure is out there.
That's correct.
Get outside.
Get outside. Do something.
Do something. Open a window. Put yourself in the great outdoors. Mm-hmm. Because it's waiting for you.
It is. This has been
Gaze at the National Parks,
podcast edition.
That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E. You can follow us on Instagram at
Gaze at the National Parks.
Or on Twitter at Gaze at the Parks.
On our next episode, join us as we continue our journey through Bryce Canyon.
I think you mean Bryce Rock Amphitheater. Yeah, you know I'm right.
Yeah.